And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa. Over the next hour, we'll get you set for the Giants and Broncos and give you the 10 most important things that you need to watch for in getting set for the game. Let's take a look at the menu for this week's show and show you what's on tap. We'll sit down and talk with Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. We'll take you in the locker room and hear from some of the members of the Big Blue in our player spotlight. We'll sit down in studio with quarterback Eli Manning. Also coming up on the show, an in-depth discussion about Coach Bill Parcells, who will be honored in a special halftime ceremony as he gets his Hall of Fame ring. And, of course, we'll have strategy with the coach's tape, break down the X's and O's. I'd like to welcome in my co-host for this week's show once again, member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Harry Carson. You ready to roll?
I'm ready.
All right. Two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks. Carl, you got 1 week under your belt. You feeling comfortable this week?
I'm good.
And Roman Oben is going to tell us how the Giants get their running game going a little bit, right?
They got to get it going this week with no turnovers.
All right, it's time for No Huddle. And what we like to do on No Huddle is put 25 seconds on the clock, and each of our panelists will get a chance to discuss a specific topic. And we'll start with the Hall of Famer, Harry Carson. 25 seconds on the clock for you, the importance of this week.
Well, the importance of this week is they've gotten the first week out of the way. Six turnovers, they lost by 5 or 6 points. It wasn't an overly bad game. If you're going to give up six turnovers, you know, Dallas should have won by more points. So they were respectable. Everything that they've done is correctable. So let's see where they've made the corrections this week.
Oh, and Harry gets in right on the buzzer, right on the buzzer. And later on in the show, Harry is going to be part of our discussion about his former head coach, Bill Parcells. All right, Carl Banks, 25 seconds on the clock for you. Communication, you feel, is important.
Yeah, in a no huddle, which like this is, no huddle, it's you have to communicate. Defensively, you're going to see a lot of things going on with Peyton Manning. Make sure that you get your calls, recognize formations, and communicate that.
Wow, Carl coming in well under time, which means that
I can get set and play.
That's right. You're going to be set and ready for the snap count. And later on in the program, you don't want to miss Carl Banks and strategy as he breaks down the coach's tape. All right, Roman, you're up. 25 seconds on the clock. Got a little room to work with here. You want to talk a little bit about leadership.
Yeah, and I just want to go back to last year for a few minutes and a few seconds, rather. Some of those losses at the end of the season, some of those ugly losses, you started hearing, oh, we'll be fine, we'll be okay, we're a great team, we're going to push at the end. And they didn't. You beat an Eagles team that mailed it in at the end of the year. And then last week, you just put some bad stuff on tape, like you said, Harry. So the leadership of the team really has to define like how they want to be opening day and how they want this season to be defined.
Whoa.
Oh, I just got it in.
We do not need false starts again. Just got it in. I don't know. We'll have to go to replay on this to see if Roman actually got it in. All right. It is time for item number one. Getting you set for the Giants and Broncos. And, of course, first up, the head coach, Tom Coughlin. Coming up this weekend, you have the Denver Broncos. And we know you're going to go to work and work on all the things. What are some of the positives that you took out of the game on Sunday night?
Well, the positives are the fact that some of the things you mentioned. You know, we battled all the way through. We overcame tremendous adversity. We were our own worst enemy. With 5 minutes and some seconds left in the game, we're at the minus 45-yard line, down 30-24. I'm fully expecting, like we have done so many times in the past, we're coming down, score a touchdown, and win this football game. It's not too long ago, a couple years ago, that with 5 minutes to go, we were down 10 points and came back and won in Dallas. So I fully expected that to happen. I think the players did too, and they were greatly disappointed. But even after that drive was foiled, we took the ball down and scored. Now there was only 10 seconds left. There were a lot of good things. I mean, just right at the end of the game, there's an onside, must onside kick we should have got. We had 8 big plays in the game from an offensive standpoint, had 3 receivers over 100 yards, had almost 500 yards of offense with 59 some snaps is all we were granted there. We had a chance with a punt return. There were some things that took place in the game that we certainly can take away from this. And as I told our team, what our issues are fixable. They are correctable. And if we'll correct them, and if we'll all, you know, if all three phases will play in harmony instead of, you know, being our own worst enemy, then we can advance here in our second game.
Right, and it's in the rearview mirror now. There's nothing you can do about it to change it. And now it's about establishing that home field mindset once again with your home opener, isn't it?
Well, it is. And getting back home, having the home field advantage, having our fans there, you know, playing well at home, you know, getting our game straightened around so that we can go on the field and accomplish what we set out to accomplish, all of those things.
Now, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin getting set to go, and one of the areas that really hurt the Giants in the game against the Dallas Cowboys was a lack of experience at the running back position. David Wilson fumbling it twice, missing on some key blocks, had to go with Darrell Scott. So the Giants remedied that situation, bringing back a familiar face. Brandon Jacobs back in the fold, and Jacobs is ecstatic about putting the Giant blue on again.
I wanted to come back. Like I said, I had plenty of opportunities to go elsewhere, but that's not what I want to be, because I want to be here.
I'm gonna always be a fan of the Giants, and you know, I'm just here right now to help this team win. You know, whatever I got to do to be productive and help this team when I'm there for it.
So, item number two, Brandon Jacobs discussion. Brandon Jacobs, number 27, now wearing number 34, mm-hmm. is back. What can he give this team on such a short week?
Stabilization, and that's what they need. And, you know, teams don't have the Harry Carsons of the world that can just come over each draft class and get everybody acclimated. Free agency moves guys out, new guys come in, and they've got to learn it on the run. Having Jacobs back in that locker room and in the huddle really helps stabilize this thing.
Yeah, and just with the familiarity of the offense of the system, I mean, you talk about some other guys who are out there. There were talks of Willis McGahee and some of these other guys, but he knows the system. He's comfortable. He's a big body. He can block linebackers on third down when they blitz. And if he's got to get some yards, he's still productive. I mean, maybe taking that year off does help him, and he's a little more refreshed mentally.
I was going to make the same point. You know, if I'm a defensive player and I'm blitzing and I see David Wilson, you know, I blitz right by him. You know, for Brandon Jacobs, you know, he's 264, 265. I'm going to think a little differently about, you know, trying to get to the quarterback. What Jacobs is a personal protector for Eli Manning, because he was sacked a couple of times the other night. And you got to have a big body back there to protect him, much like another offensive lineman. That's what Jacobs is.
Yeah,
can catch it.
Yeah, he can catch it out of the backfield as well. And Brandon Jacobs, by the way, is the franchise's all-time leader in rushing touchdowns as well with 56. So the Giants are hoping that he can bring a little lift to this football team. Still to come on the program, we're going to take you inside the Giants locker room, see how the Big Blue are feeling about this game with Paul Dottino. All that and much, much more as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG.
You know, I did the New York conference call, and not one question about the Giants' defense. I had to force it in there myself. So that's where our focus is, and they're a good defense. They're tough at home. They were number top five in red zone, top five in turnovers last year. They got put in some tough spots last week against Dallas because of the turnovers, and that's where our focus is all week.
And that's Peyton Manning, 3-1 lifetime when playing against the New York Giants, as we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG, getting you set for the Giants and Broncos. Time for item number three, the locker room. And with that said, we welcome in the one, the only, Paul Dottino. And Paul, a pretty good vibe in the locker room this week?
Well, yeah, because let's face it, everybody's excited about who may be the greatest ever quarterback that's ever played the game coming here to play the Giants at MetLife. We all know about Manning Bowl 3. This is a guy who's coming off of 7 touchdown passes in a game. Only 6 players in history have ever done that. I mean, it's pretty amazing. But you know what? The Giants have a pretty good plan in place to try to contain this guy.
If you leave a guy open, he's going to find that guy because he's that good, and he sees the whole field. I think we have to do a good job in our coverages, pre-snap looks, and, you know, when the ball snaps, we need to get to where we need to go. And also up front, you know, it definitely helps out when we get a little bit of pressure. So we'll mix it up on him.
It's an honor to be on the field with, you know, such a, you know, talked about quarterback throughout the league who's been in the game for years and has so much experience, had so much success. And, you know, these are games that you want, you know, as a younger guy, you know, to play against those guys and be able to go out there and compete and, you know, get a shot at, you know, one of the big dogs in the league, you know.
You know, I love it. I love the opportunity. You know, I love going up against the best of the best. And, I mean, we all know what Peyton brings to the table, a Hall of Famer quarterback. And you're not going to find a quarterback that understands defenses more than Peyton. You know, he's just that kind of guy. He understands formation. You know, he understands rock and roll coverages. He understands it all. So there's not going to be much you can throw at him to really throw him off and confuse him. But, you know, it's not going to stop us from trying. And more importantly, you know, we just have to be on top of our game.
Now, you know, guys, it was 3 years ago when the Giants went up against Peyton Manning and they played a lot of sub-package. They didn't go with a base defense very much. And what did Peyton do? He decided to change it up, only threw the ball 26 times, 260-something yards, and 3 touchdowns when he was with the Colts. And a dying company ran for 160. So I got to ask you, if you're the Giants, do you play much base this weekend?
You play your game. I mean, it's not a love fest with Eli and it, I mean, with Peyton and Eli. It's about the Giants and Eli beating his brother. So they're going to put together a game plan that Peyton Manning will have to react to more so than being reactive to him. Everyone knows he lines up, plays no huddle. So your counter to that is to line up and attack it.
Yeah, I mean, teams that I've been on that have been successful against Peyton Manning, they created a lot of pressure from the interior of the defensive line, Paul. And I think that's one thing that, you know, fans need to understand. I mean, they kept 10 defensive linemen on this roster for a reason. I mean, that's 20% of the roster. You cannot let them square shoulders at the line of scrimmage and find that fourth, fifth progression sometimes. And the offensive line is really good. They're playing well this year. They can run the ball, like you said, with what they did with the die a couple years ago. So they have to really, I think, put some pressure on them from the interior and just not let them get comfortable in that pocket.
You know what's funny, guys? And, Bobby, we've been around this game a long time, too. You know, he's got all those dummy calls that he makes up at the line of scrimmage. And I think one thing I heard from the locker room this week is that the Giants defensive players want to maintain their discipline for their calls, not so much react to what
sure.
he does.
I mean, that's what he wants you. He wants you to get sucked into trying to figure out what's an audible and what's not an audible. If you hit 40, is it a draw or is it something else? Line up, play your keys, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and the key is it doesn't matter what coverages you're in or all that other stuff. It's about hitting the quarterback, getting in his grill, right. And that usually solves a lot of the problems. All right, we got a full lineup of programming here on MSG throughout the course of the week. You don't want to miss it. Obviously, it's Giants First and 10. It debuts every Friday night, and then we've got replays Saturday and on Sunday, all the things, the 10 things that you need to know to get you ready for the Giants' next opponent. In this case, it's the Denver Broncos. When we come back, it's our player spotlight. Eli Manning joins us in studio to talk about the game when we return to Giants First and 10 here on MSG.
Now, your first name again?
Eli Manning.
That's a long first name. Eli's your first name, right?
Yeah.
All right. I have a tie I brought with me. Would you mind wearing it?
Yeah.
It's okay?
Yeah.
All right. You've been to the tall and big men's shop shopping. All right. Stand up straight, Eli.
Every time I see that Manning birthday party and you see that magician, it always makes you laugh. Time for item number 4 to put on the board. It's our player spotlight here on Giants First and 10. And the spotlight is on the quarterback of the New York Football Giants, Eli Manning, going against his brother Peyton for a third time as a professional. Here's a look back at the life of Eli. 2 Super Bowl championships and 2 MVP awards have earned Eli the love and admiration of millions of Giants fans. But despite all of his football success, Eli is just a regular guy with his feet firmly planted on the ground. And he feels that these qualities come from growing up as a member of a caring, loving family.
Well, I think both my parents raised my brothers and I just to try to be good people, be nice to people. We had to say yes, sir, and no, ma'am. And if we didn't say that and they hurt us, that was kind of the biggest thing you could do wrong.
The lessons Eli learned from his mom and dad helped shape him into a meticulous and resilient person who strives for perfection. But being the youngest of 3 boys also taught him some valuable survival skills as well.
I think being the youngest of 2 older brothers will definitely teach you to have a little toughness to you. you can go cry to mom every time that they beat up on you or push you down or playing knee football or playing football in the backyard and they tackle you a little bit harder than they're supposed to tackle a five-year-old when they're 10 and 12. But I think you just kind of learn to not really complain about anything or start crying unless you're really hurt. You know, if you cried about everything, they would just ignore you. But I think they would know if I was really hurt, they would know the case.
Let him cry.
And each summer back in his home state of Louisiana, he hosts a football camp for hundreds of the state's finest athletes.
Motivate me, baby. Give me the play.
Hard work on three, hard work on three. One, two, three.
Hard work.
Well, the football camp is really special because I get to spend time with my dad and my two brothers. We don't get a whole lot of time around each other. So to get everybody together, that makes it special.
I start far left, you start far right, and you work towards the middle.
The reason I love that camp because it's a chance to get my boys together. I tell them, I said, you know, I really want every kid to go back home and tell their daddy or their granddaddy that, yeah, Peyton and Eli worked with me.
Hard work. Not bad, not bad.
And as Eli's summer camp has grown and flourished, so has his career as a pitch man for some major brands in national commercials.
It's football on your phone, that's what I said.
It's football on your phone, you can watch it in bed.
Take it. Wherever you go,
show your friends and watch them all go home.
And then there's ESPN, who came calling for a typical slice of Manning life.
Having two older brothers and having that special bond and relationship where they were quick to bust on me or make fun of me. Yeah, we were always just kind of messing around and doing, you know, goofing off. And, you know, my dad kind of looks back and gives that look and just kind of, you know, what are y'all doing? You know, stop it, you know, or I'm going to get on y'all a little bit. And we got that look quite a few times.
All right, and joining us in studio is Giants quarterback Eli Manning. And Eli, you know, we saw in that piece, it's all about family, and it's got to be a lot of fun doing that camp with your dad and your brother.
It is. That's something I look forward to every year. And, you know, I don't get a whole lot of time to spend with Peyton and Cooper and my dad. So that's, you know, I know every year in July there'll be one weekend where we all get together. We stay in the same, you know, a little. It's a little better than a dorm room, but it's the same student housing type deal. We all, you know, all kind of bunk up and have a great time.
How much chalk talk do you guys do amongst yourself? Your family of quarterbacks, and you know, as defenses change over the years, you guys ever just sit and talk, you know, about the evolution or how you attack certain things?
Yeah, you know, Peyton and I will definitely talk throughout the season. We haven't talked this year, obviously with this game coming up. But normally, if this year when we play San Diego, we play Kansas City, that division, and he plays the Cowboys. If I have any notes or I have any, you know, tips on how do you see a blitz or, you know, what plays were good, I will try to give them. Help him out, because obviously if I can help him out and helps him beat the Cowboys, beat the Eagles, right, beat the Redskins, it's going to help us out. So we do talk, and sometimes our offenses are different, but you know, there are some, you know, some tips that I, you know, learned, especially in the division, I can help him out with and he can do with me.
Just from an X's and O's standpoint, you know, this season, you know, you've had to throw the four different tight ends. All different kind of guys. You know, Brandon Myers, not the quite the target as some of your other guys, but what does he really bring to the table going into the season?
Well, I think Brandon has a great feel on how to get open. And obviously, you know, last year led all tight ends and catches. You know, there's got to be a reason for that. You got to be getting open and understand, you know, zone, where to find the windows. And so we're giving him that flexibility. You know, certain coverages, certain zones, you can change your route. And give yourself the best opportunity to get open. So he's very smart. He gives good moves, and you can read his body language. So he's doing a really good job.
Talk a little bit about this game coming up. We know it's, you know, pegged the Manning Bowl, but talk about the Denver Broncos defense. What are some of the potential challenges that they present?
Well, they're very good on defense, and they do a great job getting to the quarterback, getting sacks, getting pressure. Not letting, you know, plays develop downfield. And so, yeah, do a great job in our protections and receivers. You know, they do play a lot of man-to-man techniques. And so receivers, you know, they're going to have to get open, and you're going to have to throw tight throws and put them in, you know, be very accurate with the ball. So, you know, they're big up front. And so, you know, you got to be able to mix in, you know, if they are dropping guys out and playing cover two and two safeties deep, you got to be able to run the ball. If they are coming down and playing single high man, we got to throw it and throw it accurately.
Speaking of running the ball, you guys re-add Brandon Jacobs back to the football team this week. And Hopefully the offensive line's getting a little healthier. Talk about the need to get to that balance. It's great to have three receivers over 100 yards receiving, but that short yardage stuff is key.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, you got to be able to run the ball in certain situations. Obviously, in the red zone, when you're first and goal, you got to be able to run the ball down there. Third and short, and even first and second down. You got to run the ball to have those second and five, second and sixes, and you put the defense in a bind. Then on second down, you can still run, you can play action, you can throw, you can do everything you want. If you're stuck in a lot of second and longs, then the defense can sit back and make it more difficult. So I think it slows down the pass rush. It helps those linemen fire off. And when you run the ball, can run it successfully, it helps everything out.
Part of the success of a lot of the guys on the perimeter has been that Friday film study that you do after practice. And how's that going the first 2 weeks of the year?
It's going well. I think the guys look forward to it. I try not to keep them in there too long, but just give them some simple tips and hints, things we might check to, certain plays, why I'm checking to a play, what to expect. And so, they're not thinking, oh, I wonder, why he checked to that play. They know exactly why. They can play fast and we can get the correct decision. So I think, we've gotten the running backs coming in there also to help, with protections and their route running. It's just a kind of a last little reminder. Coaches do a great job. I kind of like to get, kind of let them hear my voice, my thinking on a couple things that are come up and how, so they can visualize it. So they've already visualized it. Game time comes, they're playing fast.
Eli, it should be fun on Sunday. We want to wish you the best of luck, and thanks for a couple minutes.
Sure thing. Thanks a lot.
Eli.
All right, Eli joining us here on First and 10. Still to come on the program when we come back. It's the Blitz. And don't forget, MSG and My9 is your exclusive home for all Giants programming every Saturday night on My9. It's Giants Access Blue and, of course, the postgame show to follow. Giants First and 10 here on MSG. You got Giants Rewind. You got Giants Chronicles. Everything you need to know on My9 and on MSG. As we go to this commercial break, Eli has 28 career fourth quarter comebacks, counting the postseason. Number two came against the Denver Broncos in 2005.
Manning over center, takes the snap, drops back, switches on, Barber gets it, Manning drifts, throws to the end zone, touchdown! Amani Toomer!
Graham throws deep down the right side, looking for Toomer. Touchdown! 37-yard bomb to Amani Toomer, and the Giants lead it 20-16.
And we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. In 1998, the Broncos were the reigning Super Bowl champions, and they were 13-0 when they went into Giants Stadium. But that Amani Toomer catch handed the Broncos their first loss of the season. Denver would go on to win the Super Bowl anyway later on that year. Time for our Blitz segment. It's item number 5. It's called The Blitz, and to blitz us, we welcome in Anita Marks.
I kind of like that, to blitz you. Yep. All right, here we go. Question number 1. Peyton Manning, we know last week, joined Giants Hall of Famer Y.A. Tittle as the only player in history to throw 7 touchdown passes without one interception in a game. Okay, great stats. Tittle did it back in 62, 505 yards and 7 touchdowns. Here's your question. Where does Peyton Manning rank among the all-time great quarterbacks in NFL history? You guys have a minute on the clock. Discuss.
He's got to be up there. I mean, when his career is all said and done, he will finish as one of the best ever to play the game.
Right now, he's 3rd in NFL history in yardage. He's got more 6 or more touchdown passing games than any quarterback in NFL history. He's got more 5 or more touchdown passes. He's got a lot
he's
of them.
He's more better.
But could you make the case that he's the greatest regular season quarterback in NFL history?
Yeah, he's definitely the greatest regular season quarterback in NFL history. I think he's the greatest studier of the game, of the position in NFL history. I mean, he was anointed as that guy when Marino, Favre, Elway were still playing in the league when he got in 98. Bruce Arians told me that personally when I was in Cleveland, that I remember this guy as a rookie would teach us the system by the second week of rookie minicamp. So, wow. I mean, back then, they knew that he was going to be one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, and some of it is like comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah,
I mean,
playoffs, it's regular season, it's all wins, it's games, it's stats.
And the buzz. Did you hear it?
Yeah, we heard it.
Okay, good. All right, here we go. Number 2. Is Tom Coughlin a future Hall of Famer? A minute on the clock. Discuss.
Well, I think yes. I mean, I think First of all, his resume is not complete because he's going to coach for a couple more years. And if he wins another Super Bowl or some more playoff games, his resume is going to get even better. But I even think with that said, because you have to take into consideration what he did with Jacksonville. He took a franchise that had like two employees and a trailer. And in a couple of years, because of his drafting and the trade for Mark Brunell, he got that team to the AFC Championship game.
He's a Hall of Famer. And that's not a Giants bias either. When you look at his resume and you stack it against other Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers, he's going to be there.
Well, yeah, let's throw them out. Lombardi, Madden, Noel, Shula, Walsh.
Well, look, the quarterback position and the head coach are measured by their Super Bowl wins. Tom Coughlin's got two. He's 163 regular season wins. He'll be knocking on the door at 200 wins at some, depending on when he retires.
Yeah.
And that you talk about that season in Jacksonville, they went 3-7. They won like six straight and went to the AFC Championship game.
Tom Flores is the only head coach with two Super Bowl wins not in the Hall of Fame, not nearly the win percentage of Coughlin.
You're out of time.
All right.
Yeah. Penalty.
All right.
Delay a game.
All right, so we'll see you again next week for the Blitz. Anita will blitz us again next week. Speaking of Bill Parcells, when we come back, you don't want to miss our roundtable conversation with the Hall of Fame former head coach of the New York Giants, Bill Parcells. Harry's going to weigh on it. Carl's going to weigh on it as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10. It's the Giants and Broncos on Sunday. And, of course, the Giants won their first championship in 30 years back in 1986 when they defeated the Broncos in Super Bowl 21. Well, now it's time to put item number 6 up on the board. It's Bill Parcells in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Here's a look back at the career of Bill Parcells with the Big Blue.
From the beginning, it was clear that Parcells' fiery coaching style would take some getting used to.
Fortunately, I had a good support system there with the Giants, and the whole organization got behind me, and I probably wasn't too easy to get behind in those days.
Some of these guys got to get their head out of their around here.
A little bit mercurial, a little bit brusque would be the word.
What the are you doing standing 10 yards in the backfield? The line. Don't you know how much time's on the clock?
And I was probably pushing the envelope harder than I should have, more determined than I ever was. Fortunately, things fell in place and we started winning pretty regularly.
In his 8 seasons as Giants head coach, Bill Parcells won 3 division titles, 2 Super Bowls, and the love and respect of Giants fans forever.
Presenting Bill Parcells for enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I had the exact right kind of players, understood my personality, bought into the program at the absolute most critical time in my career.
That's a good catch, Mark. Big play, son. That's the way to go. Hey, those guys are going to beat you around. You got to learn to beat their hands off you. You know what I mean?
I understood him right away. I loved him, you know, right from the get-go. You know, to me, he was a pretty easy guy to understand. You know, do your work, you know, keep your mouth shut, don't self-aggrandize. That's the kind of guy I want to play for. You know, I don't think I would have played as high for anyone else. I know I wouldn't have.
Phil, look, when we call the wide head, that's who we're trying to throw to.
Don't
be too inventive. Okay?
Okay, they took him. They're covering him.
I know. I saw it.
They're just going over
him the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I see what I'm doing.
In my career, the guy that kind of changed my mindset was Bill Parcells. There's no question.
I learned a lot from the way Bill handled the team, from the way Bill handled all the different types of games, the big games, the games where we were the favorite, the games where we were the underdog, the games where we were on the road.
The rest of your life, man, nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it because you did it.
I had a good support system, a good front office, tremendous ownership. I couldn't ask for any more. I'm honored, I'm grateful, and I'm thankful to every single one of you out there that had something to do with this. Thank you very much.
All right, Bill Parcells is going to get honored at halftime of the Giants and Broncos in two Super Bowls in 8 years. And, Harry, I'm going to start with you. What was it like when Parcells first took over as head coach? You had been with some bad teams leading up to that.
Yeah, and the significance for me is Parcells was my position coach before he became the head coach. So I saw the transition that he had to go through, but I also knew that, you know, he had some stuff that he had to work on because it wasn't just about the linebackers, and especially the older guys that he had a relationship with. He had to be able to deal with the entire group.
Yeah, Carl, you were drafted in 1984, So it's Parcells' second year. What did your impressions were of him early?
Well, you know, I played for some tough coaches in college, but he takes a little bit to get used to. I recall that day in training camp where he basically became himself, where he got the group together and said, you know, I need to know who's going to be my guys. I'm going to make some tough decisions, but after that, I need to know that the guys I keep are going to be my guys. And that was kind of the makings of, you know, the Parcells guy.
All right, Paul, you were a sophomore at Fordham when the Giants were the team that you had to cover for WFUV. Yeah. So you're just a kid. What's it like dealing with this orny jersey guy?
It's funny, Bob. That was my first year on the Giants beat. Was 83, Parcells' rookie season as a head coach. As a young rookie reporter, he was willing to teach me about the game, much like he was coaching you guys as players. He was willing to coach me as a reporter to teach me about football, the X's and the O's, and the psychological games that go into it.
Really?
And I think
he taught you more than he taught me early on.
Carl, I got to tell you,
he just ignored me for a couple of years.
How many years did it take for you?
2 years before he said anything.
What happened? You got the key.
I'll tell you what.
You're the Parcells whisperer.
He was a much nicer, friendlier uncle kind of guy in those days than he became later on.
And Dottino, man, he's got the inside check. Now, make sure, fans, if you're coming to the game, special halftime ceremony. Bill Parcells gets his Hall of Fame ring. Going to have former Giant Hall of Famers on hand. It's going to be a special halftime ceremony. All right, it is time for item number 7. How do the Giants go about winning that game? Here's strategy with Carl Banks.
Thanks, Bob. Now, let's take a look at the Broncos' pass rush. Here you're going to see 4 guys. 1, 2, 3, 4. These are their primary guys. In the empty formation, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys to block 4. Now, I'm going to run this, and I'm going to show you where it's very important to maintain your blocks if you're the Giants offensive line and give a clean pocket for Eli to step into. I'll play this, and you'll see. I'll slow it down here, freeze it. You got guys covered here, guys covered here, guys covered here. Okay, now, quarterback must step into the lane here, into a pocket so he can throw it. But what happens, you get a breakdown. I'll let this continue to run. Quarterback pulls down the ball, and the pass rush comes around and makes a sack. So maintaining the blocks, but also the quarterback has to have a great pocket presence and get rid of the ball on timing. Now, let's take a look at the Broncos passing game. A lot of misdirection, a lot of crossing routes. The key here is finding Wes Welker, number one. Number two is backside help on crossing routes. This guy here will need to be the guy who gets back in to effect the play. I'll run it here, and you'll see. Keep an eye on this guy here. Now, I'll stop it right here. His eyes should be back here, coming back to impact the play on Walker on this crossing route. But as it stands, he just drifts too far out. By the time he can react, it's a first down. So when you're playing zone on the backside of a man coverage, it's important. Release your guy, get your eyes back up the field.
And that was strategy brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. You know, with Bill Parcells, you get a little nostalgic, and we have that fixed for you each and every week here on MSG. Make sure you check out Giants Chronicles, where we look back at some of the great players to ever play in New York football Giants history. We look at some of the great teams. You don't want to miss it. Check out Giants Chronicles right here on MSG. When we come back here on the program, it's going to be Giants Online. Pat Hanlon, the reporter, sit down and get you all set. And one of the great plays during Bill Parcells' run as head coach came in 1986 against the Broncos at Giants Stadium. George Martin thrilling the fans.
Motion toward the middle by Vance Johnson. Elway is looking for a target. Goes out to the right side. Intercepted. George Martin. 30. 45. At the 45, Elway takes it and breaks the tackle. Martin to the 20. Martin to the 10. He's in. What a run by George Martin.
It's very important to come out and get a good start on our home field against a valiant opponent. It's going to be a tough game, but it's definitely important to start off on the right foot, especially at home. So we're excited about that opportunity.
Victor Cruz with 7 touchdowns of 70 or more yards, the most in the National Football League, more than double his next nearest competitors. We welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Time for our online segment. Joining me, as always, the Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hanlon.
It's easy for you to say.
Are you nervous about this game?
No.
Manning Bowl 3,
great anticipation. Bill Parcells, Hall of Fame ring. Yeah, I got sweat on my forehead.
You are. All right. Well, let's go around the room and welcome to the program Connor Orr. Covers the Giants for the Star Ledger. Are you ready for Manning Bowl 3?
Yeah, you know, I'm not as nervous as Pat is, it seems like, but, you know, I'm staying dry. I'm all good. Right. I'm ready to go.
And also joining us from the New York Times, he's been through these Manning Bowls before, Bill Pennington.
I'm hoping this one's a better game than any of the other ones we've had.
That's right. Peyton Manning, 2-0 against Eli. All right. Item number 8 on the program. First topic up for discussion. The Giants' offensive line. And is that a problem right now with the way this team's not been able to run the ball as effectively as they would have liked?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at it and you had, what, 3 or 4 different groups of people. You know, you have David Boston at center, then you have the MCL issue, you move Booth over, you have Brewer come over at guard, deals out with a thumb injury. So, you know, it's all about consistency, and I think that's what Chris Neese said was the biggest recipe for all their big, long runs was having a group of 5 guys that were together the whole time.
Yeah, and it's put a lot of pressure on Eli, too. He was on the move all night. I mean, you know, he got sacked a few times, but more than that, I mean, every single pass he had to step left, step right, duck this way. I mean, that's not the way he wants to do it.
And needless to say, if you're going to run the ball effectively, you need to hold on to the ball.
Bob. Are you going back to that?
No, but I'm just saying that'll screw up a run game as much as anything.
It certainly will. And obviously continuity when the Giants were leading the league in rushing in 07, 08, they had the same 5 guys out there every week.
Yeah, but you know what? Even as that was happening, we were watching it happen, and we were saying what a unique situation that is, okay? Looks like Boss is working his way back. Booth goes back to guard. Pugh is going to keep learning his craft at tackle. Well, it'll come. But, yeah, we have had to juggle throughout the preseason.
All right, so we throw topic number 9 now up for discussion, getting you set for the Giants and the Denver Broncos. And, Bill, I'll start with you. David Wilson and kind of what he's going through in his second year in the National Football League.
Well, I think part of what the problem was he's going through is what we're talking about, the offensive line. I think he has to adjust to that line. It's kind of a different blocking scheme. It's kind of, they kind of move like road graders, and you got to wait a little while, and then there's a seam that opens, and that's what Bradshaw was good at. I think David's taking the ball and just running right in, and they're not really, the holes haven't opened yet. So they're not in sync, and I think that's part of the problem.
We also got to remember, this guy's still learning how to be a professional running back. I mean, he played very little out of the backfield last year. He was outstanding on kickoff returns. He's learning how to be an NFL running back.
And that's what comes with it, too. I mean, you know, you're a young kid, you're a rookie. I mean, you have people talking trash at you on Twitter. I mean, it's the first time you're really experiencing all these things. And you could see Wilson going through it right before our eyes, but he's got that potential.
You surprised? I mean, evidently he didn't listen when I did the rookie seminar last year. What is he doing going at fans on Twitter? You cannot win. You guys know
I have a couple thoughts on this. First of all, it's interesting that the people who get upset at David Wilson's response are the same people that are firing bullets at him on social media. You want to talk to me? Okay, we'll talk, right? And so he talked back. Having said that, you can't win that fight. And when you're in a situation like David Wilson was in this week, don't look at social media. Don't go to Twitter.
That's our online segment for this week's show. Item number 10 still to come. Keys to the game as we return to Giants First and 10 on MSG after this.
It's all about pride. Are you ready?
These guys got to get their head out of their
it's around here.
You're the Parcells whisper.
He was a much nicer, friendlier uncle kind of guy in those days.
Oh, I just got it in.
Ball start.
You know, Peyton and I will definitely talk throughout the season. We haven't talked this year, obviously, with this game coming up.
A little flavor of what transpired on Giants First and 10. That's the Geico recap. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com. All right, it's time for item number 10 on the program, and it is keys to the game. All right, guys, let's dial into this, and Carl, we'll start with you. Put some time on the clock, 25 seconds. Your keys to the game for the Giants to beat the Broncos.
Well, I think it's going to take focus, 60 minutes or beyond if it goes beyond that. But focus every play physically and mentally on being and doing exactly what you should be doing.
All right, and again, you're under time. You're saving a lot of time for Roman. Roman, your keys to the game for the Giants as we put 25 on the clock for you.
I think this kind of game really boils down to playing a complete game on all three phases. And what happens is you neutralize Peyton Manning. You start making him punt a few times. Offense, you're moving. But here comes 5'5", Trenton Holiday with a big return. So this is the kind of game where everybody's live, whether you're the personal protector, the gunner, the nickel corner, everybody's live. You have to play a complete football game on Sunday.
And again, no false start from our offensive linemen. So now we go to our captain, Harry Carson. And
do I get 45 seconds?
You can take as much time as you want. What your key to the game here for the Giants?
You know, this is the 88th season opener for the New York Football Giants. And that crowd in that stadium is going to be wound up. The guys have to go out there and give a total team effort. Whatever happened last week, it happened last week. They won't get back to it until they have to play against the Dallas Cowboys again. Put it out of your mind. But it's about Eli Manning against Peyton Manning, and you want your guy to be victorious. So that's the keys, my key to the game.
All right. Well, Harry went over, but it's okay. He's the Hall of Famer.
It's all good.
He's seniority.
He's our captain for life.
Look, and the other cool part about this, guys, and I know you guys are going to be excited about it too, at halftime there's a special ceremony in which Bill Parcells is going to be honored. He's going to get his Hall of Fame ring. The other living Giant Hall of Famers there as well. And remember, the National Football League and the New York Giants have a new bag policy. So if you're coming to the game on Sunday, go to Giants.com for all the details. But here's the skinny on it. You need a clear plastic bag, no bigger than 12 by 6 by 12. If you're bringing a purse or a small handbag, between 4.5 and 6.5 inches. And I know a lot of you fans like to bring a camera or binoculars. You cannot bring the case. Put it around your neck, but you cannot bring the case. Go to Giants.com for all of the details. Make sure you join us next week here on MSG as we get you ready for the Giants and the Carolina Panthers. Check out Giants First and 10 throughout the weekend on MSG. Of course, it debuts each and every Friday night. You can see them at the days and times in which they will be airing. Next week, the 10 things you need to know about the Giants and their upcoming opponent. Make sure you follow the Giants. Go to Giants.com. Go to Facebook.com/New York Giants and follow the Giants on Twitter as well. So we are just about out of time. For Carl Banks, Harry Carson, Roman Oben, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us here on MSG for Giants First and 10.